as Probst would say, come on in. Or, for those of us who have been fans of that show forever, come on in, guys. No need to change it. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast, looking at week 9 of the National Football League season, is presented exclusively by Brandon Legal Group. It is why this podcast is absolutely free for you. And if you live in the state of Florida, you need to know that permanent alimony no longer exists in the state of Florida as law. Effective July 1st, 2023, Governor Ron DeSantis eliminated permanent alimony as part of law in the state of Florida. So if you are a male that has been paying permanent alimony and you live in the state of Florida, Brandon Legal Group would love to help you stop paying permanent alimony. The law is now on your side to stop paying permanent alimony. Call for a free consult at 813-902-3576 or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Men in Florida, stop paying permanent alimony. Brandon Legal Group can help. Email for survivor purposes, write.todd@yahoo.com. Remember, if you are a fantasy player, separate podcast that is now 8 years, 41 episodes in season 8 and running. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, rolling along on some of the same or different platforms. Everything distributed by our friends at joebucksfan.com. And don't forget, non-survivor content, non-fantasy content, anything I want to talk about, coming up on 300 episodes of the Todd Wright Toddcast, also presented by Brandon Legal Group, along with my friends at Pin Chasers, with 3 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. So let's go back the last couple of weeks. Week 7, I accurately predicted a 60% share of survivor players on Seattle in their game against the Cardinals. And I talked at length at the beginning of last week's podcast that it made me feel good that I gave you accurate information, that I hold myself accountable. So a week later, I come to you and say, wow, did I whiff on how many would be playing the LA Chargers as it related specifically to the Circa Sports Survivor Pro Football Contest? I was so off. And we'll talk about this as another example of regional bias. But yeah, I blew it. I blew it. Over 50% of survivors in the Circa contest put their faith in Coach Staley not costing them their lives. It worked, but wow, I was so off. I had the over under 5% because, in my opinion, there were so many other good options out there. The Ravens at Arizona, the Cowboys at home against the Rams. What else do I have? The Bills, if you had them left on Thursday night against the Bucks. But yeah, the actual number was 51.3% on the Chargers on Sunday night against the Bears. Had Mooney actually gotten up immediately after catching that long pass and run into the end zone, maybe we're talking about a different game here. Didn't happen. Chargers win easy. And over 50% in the Circa pool ride them into week 9. Current live entries in the Circa Survivor pool, 1,201. Just looking at the rest of the numbers from Circa last week, 25% on the Ravens. Then we dip all the way down to 8.6% on the Lions on Monday night. We offered that one against the Raiders. then 4% on the Bills, 2.9% on the Dolphins. Biggest loser was the Texans. Granted, it was only 1.5%. And yeah, I was surprised by that result, but it still was, you know, a team finding their way, going on the road against a team that was pretty aimless coming in Carolina. Granted, they changed play callers, but 19 on the Texans are gone. 6 on the Chiefs were gone. Very small number. You know, that was 0.5% used that spot on the Chiefs with that big streak against the Broncos. Most had already burned them. And then a few went out on the Falcons, a few on the Niners, a couple on the Packers. There's always a few no picks. That's always interesting to me and Gil Alexander of VEASAN as well. Let me talk about the Cowboys a little bit, because I expected the Cowboys to be one of the biggest plays last week. At Circa, they were the 8th biggest play at only 1.1%. 14 people advance on the Cowboys against the Rams. In the pool I play in, based in the Southeast United States, there were only 2 of 94 expected entries on the Cowboys. So that's, you know, pretty close to in line there. And one of the things that I didn't acknowledge in last week's podcast when I propped up how, you know, my numbers said when I did my research in August, the Cowboys were the week 8 play. I overlooked how many people burned Dallas in week 2. That's my bad. It was a combination of forgetting about it and just not, because obviously when I did my initial research, there was no way that the Cowboys flew off the page in week 2 based on who we thought was going to be quarterbacking the Jets in week 2, based on the history of Aaron Rodgers getting in the Cowboys' way of winning big games. Trust me, I've been at enough of them to know. But what happened was week 1, everyone was watching. Rodgers goes down early. The Jets find a way to win in a bizarre Monday night game against the Bills. They're coming back on a short week. They're going on the road. They don't have Aaron Rodgers. The Cowboys on the big stage the Sunday night destroy the New York Giants. And at that point, I think so many survivors were just like, I'm all in on the Cowboys here week 2. Are you kidding? With what we just saw them do against the New York Giants, and now they're coming home, and they've had an extra day to prepare because the Jets played on Monday night. The Jets could have a letdown. The Jets have to go with Zach Wilson. They can't do this again. Yeah, the Cowboys were the play. So there was a significant, let me go back to my contest week 2, about 25% in week 2 in the contest I planned based in the Southeast United States was on Dallas. The only one bigger that week was Buffalo in week 2, who I was also on at home to bounce back from the Monday night loss against the Las Vegas Raiders, who had the odd first game against the Denver Broncos, where they didn't show a lot. So my bad on that projecting. I thought most people had the Cowboys left to play. Clearly I was wrong about that there was a significant enough percentage that played Dallas in week 2, or just simply looked at the Rams and said, nah, I don't want to go against the Rams here, you know, because they've gotten Cooper Kupp back. I felt since early August it was a smash spot for the Cowboys. They were up 30 in the first half. Rams, what, got it down to a 2-touchdown game, and then the Cowboys just basically kind of killed the clock from there. And then Stafford got hurt, which could be a factor going forward as you pick against the Rams. Let me go back to the Chargers, though, and talk about a regional bias as it relates to the circle pool, because I've seen this a couple of times earlier this year where a majority of the people playing in the circuit pool live near Las Vegas. The VEASAN guys estimated roughly 60% of the over 9,000 original Survivor entries in circuit pool were probably from people who live in a driving distance to Las Vegas. So they form different opinions at times of teams that they're exposed to, maybe a little bit more. Much like people would say, I'm exposed more to the Dolphins in Florida or the Jaguars or Falcons, Panthers, Saints because I live in Tampa and I always have the availability of an NFC South game just on, you know, free network television. So I think there's something to that. In my pool, the Chargers were the number two choice behind the Lions. So let's compare that. Take the Cowboys out of it. So the Lions were the number three choice at circa at between 8 and 9%. Chargers number one choice at over 51%. Meanwhile, in my pool, granted much more modest numbers, much more modest money, Lions were a little over 30%, Chargers just a tick lower. So you take that right there and just how circa had Lions under 10%, Chargers over 50%, and just smash them together. And where were the Ravens in my pool? Because it's circa. The Ravens were 25%. In my pool, they were third at just a tick over 10%. So there's another regional bias there, I think, with a lot of players in Las Vegas seeing Arizona, questioning Arizona, the anti-Arizona play, and like, yeah, okay, let's go anti-Arizona this week. And they went with the Ravens and pushed them up to number two at circa. One other thing with circa. Damn, I admire two people advance picking winless Carolina in week eight. And one person picked the Bengals at San Francisco and advanced. Stones. Absolute stones. I didn't even start Joe Burrow in fantasy in week eight against the 49ers. Did anybody have them in my pool? No one had Carolina in my pool. No one had Cincinnati in my pool. Granted, there were only 94 alive going into week eight, but still, there's no chance that someone who picked Carolina at circa in week eight or the Bengals is listening to this. But if you are, please send me an email. I'd like to commend you personally. Right.todd@yahoo.com. So circa has 1,201 entries left. Not many eliminations at all when you add it up. There were very few eliminations in my pool. Three had Houston and went out. One had KC and went out. And everyone put in a pick. Okay, so let's move forward. Let's look at week nine as best as we can. We're getting to that point where we've got to start looking deeper because so many live entries have used the big name teams. So week nine, the biggest, according to Patrick Everson, and this was updated, we're doing this on Halloween night, roughly in the 8 p.m. Eastern time hour. The trade deadline is done, so I can factor in that the Vikings do have a new quarterback option. I don't think a heck of a lot else that happened on Tuesday at the trade deadline is going to affect Survivor plays, but the Vikings do have another quarterback option. Granted, how quickly does it take to get him up to speed? Here's the biggest factor and I'm not sure of this from the Falcons standpoint, Downs for Arizona was very effective running the ball against man defenses. I don't know off the top of my head how much man defense the Falcons play. Look, I'm admitting to you, I don't. I know the Falcons have very good personnel on the defensive side of the football, and it's the reason why they win a majority of their games. They certainly blew coverages against Will Levis and DeAndre Hopkins last week, so that ain't good. So I'm inclined to believe that based on what DeAndre Hopkins did, the Falcons don't play a majority of man defense, because then at least someone would have been running with Hopkins. And Hopkins just can't outrun people the way, say, Tyreek Hill can. Well, no one can. But that's my point. So just thinking about it that way, I'm guessing the Falcons don't play a majority of man defense. That's just my guess. But that's something to follow as it relates to Downs and when he can get yardage on the ground. It's against defenses that play more man. Same with Lamar Jackson with the Ravens tucking it under, because then you can clear out areas, and just if you don't have a guy open, your hot read is literally this big space. Just run to it. Just go. Okay, so week 9 numbers as of Tuesday night. Best money line on the board is the Browns, -390. Also is a 7.5-point choice against the Cardinals. Okay? When I did my research in early August, all that cross-sectioning, Cleveland flew off the page. It did. So this remains in line with that. The Cardinals just traded their starting quarterback for the first 8 weeks away. He's gone. There's some thought Kyler may be able to play. And if not, it's something called Clayton Tune. Don't know him. I don't think I need to know him at this point. There seemed to be a disconnect, you know, with a coach after the Cardinal game, said Downs is still our quarterback, and with Murray coming off PUP and practicing, and then it's like, well, he was basically told not to talk about him. So Downs goes to Minnesota. So the Cardinals will have a different starting quarterback this year, this week. Switching quarterbacks. I don't know that that's necessarily good. Granted, they've only won one game. We have no idea if Deshaun Watson is going to play. There's information out there that suggests the Browns were trying to trade for Jacoby Brissett to bring him back. And Washington asking for a third rounder, the Browns deemed as too much. What does that tell me? That tells me the Browns are still worried that Deshaun Watson is not going to be healthy the rest of the season. If you're trying to bring back Jacoby Brissett, then you don't believe Watson is going to be able to play for you going forward for the rest of the year, get you into the playoffs. If you're entertaining that, I don't think it's as, well, we need to bring in a capable backup because we don't like what we've seen in Walker and DTR. I think there's more to it. And it's just odd, especially with no Nick Chubb. So Browns in play first time this year. I mean, I don't know that there'll be a bigger spot this year where they will be in play unless Watson comes back healthy and they just get on an amazing run. So Browns -390. The total's only 37.5. That doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room. I mean, if Kyler Murray plays, I don't think you can take Cleveland here. And I know it'd be Murray's first game back. What kind of weapons does he really have? You know, he is the weapon. But if it's Kyler Murray against someone other than Deshaun Watson, I don't know that you can take Cleveland here. Next strongest money line play on the board in week 9. It's close. Saints minus 375 at home against the Bears. Bears coming off a rough Sunday night game where the backup quarterback, the backup running back, Johnson actually, I believe, got more snaps and or more touches than Foreman did. We're not going to see Herbert just yet back here in the mix. Bears didn't do a lot of things to stay competitive in that game against the Chargers. The Saints aren't impressive at all. You know, they struggle to score points. You know, they put up some points in recent weeks, but Kamara's been very good. You wonder why they don't get the ball more to Shaheed. And that could be a quarterback issue. We're going down this Taysom Hill road again. The Bears just traded for a Sweat from Washington, gave up a second-round pick for a guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I guess the explanation from Chicago's standpoint is, well, we like him enough to where we want to bring him in now and we want to start talking to him about a contract extension, but you gave up a second-round pick? And this upgrades their defense. Okay. The Bears are bad. The Saints just aren't that strong. Kind of like the Browns just aren't that strong. The Browns defense is strong. You get Tune at quarterback for the Cardinals. Yeah, I can see that. Especially if you have Watson at quarterback. From the Saints standpoint, yeah, they should win the game. But let's see if we can find someone else. I don't think the Saints are sort of in that second tier of good NFL teams. You know, we're looking for a good NFL team that might not be necessarily a Super Bowl contender that you haven't used yet. The Saints aren't a Super Bowl contender, may not even be a playoff team. Someone has to go to the playoffs from the NFC South. Let's just keep looking. I see a minus 255 on the Ravens at home against the Seahawks. Seahawks did lose their last game in the Eastern time zone. I think they're now 16-5 in their last 21 games in the Eastern time zone. But we know Ravens are a good team. But Seattle's a good team. Seattle is now leading the Western Division. Many use the Ravens this past week. We talked about how they were the number 2 pick at Circa, and they were the number 3 pick in my pool. Not sure many people have the Ravens left to use. I see the Falcons as minus 225 at home against the Vikings. Now, this is also reflective of the Vikings trading for a quarterback. It could be the rookie from BYU. It could be Downs. It could be both in this particular game against the Falcons. God, I hate Arthur Smith. I mean, the total's only 37. So it's not like Atlanta's going to outscore Minnesota, like put up this big number, and you're not going to sweat that. The line's only 4.5. But yeah, the Vikings are, I mean, Atlanta's probably going to start Heinicke, right? I like how Florio called this a soft benching of Ritter, where you can say, well, we're concerned for his health. You know, we got this until we, you know, give him a little more time. Soft benching of Ritter. So, yeah, I mean, if Heinicke plays, I guess I'm inclined. But, you know, the Falcons you kind of think of the same way as you think of the Saints, right? They're kind of the same. They look like just an average football team. So then you look at the opponent. You have the Falcons at home against the Vikings, who are starting a new quarterback, and you would have the Saints at home against the Bears, where at this point it's not Fields. If it was Fields, maybe, but we're going with Bagent. I think the Vikings, even without Cousins, are better than the Bears without Fields. Falcons and Saints about the same. I'd be inclined to consider the Falcons if I knew Heinicke was starting. Because that takes the Desmond Ridder factor off the board. Then I think the Falcons clearly have the better guy. Even though the Saints have the bigger money line. And the Bears can look really bad. Yeah. It's up to you. Let's see. The next, we'll do three more money lines. Actually, we got to do four. Are the Patriots really a minus 180 money line against the Commanders? You can have that one. Not touching it. Nope. Not touching that at all. Wow. Yeah, I'm just going to advance to some others where I can have something to talk about. Packers minus 166 money line against the Rams. That may reflect how the Rams don't have Stafford. The Packers don't look good at all. But without Stafford, we've seen this before last year as it relates to the Rams without Stafford. No Kyron Williams, bringing back Daryl Henderson. You know, is Cup on a pitch count? So it'd be an anti-Rams play. But the Packers really aren't showing very much. Minus 166 for the Eagles against the Cowboys. Hear me out on this, because I've told you this before. Cowboys last 23 games, either in the regular season or postseason on grass. They're 7-16. The Cowboys are not built for grass. I don't think their offensive line is banged up. That's not good against Philadelphia. I'm not sure the Cowboys' defensive line can hold the line against that Eagle offensive line. And I do think Hurts is better than Dak. So I know the Cowboys are coming off a dominant performance against the Rams, but this is head-to-head against the Eagles, right? When you think about the best teams in the NFC, you think of the Eagles up here and the Cowboys kind of down below them. I don't think that changes this week. The Cowboys will host the Eagles in about a month or so in Dallas. Maybe I'd feel differently if this game was on turf. But if you haven't used the Eagles, yeah. I know what you're thinking about Dallas. I just don't think Dallas wins this game. On grass against a team that's just better than them. Even though the Eagles clearly are struggling to find their way offensively at times. More often than not. Last one we'll talk about, Bengals minus 162 money line. Okay, so the Chargers are a minus 164 money line at the Jets, but yeah, I don't think many will be doing that game. So the Bengals minus 162 money line at home. That's the Sunday night game against the Buffalo Bills. It's tough to go against Buffalo, right? Just as I got pushback when I suggested going up against the Cowboys this week. Buffalo is a good team. Dallas is a good team. But what about the matchup? What about the intangibles? What about at the times this year where we've seen good teams struggle? The Bengals, with a win in this game, could basically send notice to everybody in the league. We're right back where you thought we'd be. Put us right on that line of the top teams that can take down the Chiefs. Because they haven't been there the entire first half of the season. And I don't think their win at San Francisco is getting enough attention because the Niners had lost their previous two. But the Bengals are starting to look the part. This is the game we didn't get last year because of what happened with DeMar Hamlin. I think the Bengals are very motivated to play this game. Now, that said, if you're a Bills fan saying, well, we owe the Bengals one for how the Bengals came into Buffalo last year and beat our ass in the playoffs, I buy that. Which is why I personally wouldn't play the Bengals this week as my survivor play. I'd like to see the Bengals play well to get them to that point where I can believe in them enough for an upcoming week. Let me just see what they got coming up. See if I can find this real quick. And then we'll call it a podcast. Bengals schedule. So here's what I'm thinking. Okay. Yeah. So if the Bengals win this week, they host the Texans next week. All right. I haven't looked ahead at all the week 10 games or what have you. But then Bengals at Ravens on a Thursday night. Then Bengals host Steelers. Bengals at Jaguars. You're not using them there. Bengals hosting Colts December 10th. So, yeah. If the Bengals look good in this game, beat the Bills convincingly. Burrow plays well. T. Higgins is involved. Chase has a good game. Defensively, you know, they make life very difficult on Josh Allen. Then, yeah, the Bengals should be a big play the next week against the Houston Texans, who just reminded everyone they got a long way to go as they fell to the Carolina Panthers, who didn't have a win prior to last Sunday. All right, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. These podcasts are so much fun to do. I enjoy talking to you guys via email about what's going on in your survivor leagues, and I'm just glad I'm doing this podcast. I wish I was still live with the rest of you, but played the Eagles in week 6 when I should have played the Ravens, or stuck with my plan of playing the Lions in week 5 and then playing the Dolphins in week 6. And I regret it, and I'll learn from it for next year. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Remember, men in the state of Florida, stop paying permanent alimony. It is no longer the law as of July 1st, 2023. Brandon Legal Group can help you stop paying that permanent alimony. 813-902-3576 or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. We will talk to you next week.